Tess Vigeland here from the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast. This season, we'll take you from that first job all the way to retirement and all the career moments along the way. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 27th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. After every school shooting, like the one in Uvalde, Texas, questions are asked about how to prevent the next one. To that end, more school districts are turning to software to help them spot early warning signs that a student may be a threat to others or themselves. But those systems also raise concerns about students' privacy and whether they work as promised. On today's show, our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon joins us to discuss how schools are balancing those concerns with the need to keep kids safe. That's after these headlines. Semiconductor powerhouse Broadcom has reached a deal to buy the hybrid cloud company VMware for $61 billion, one of the biggest takeovers of the year so far. The purchase will nearly triple the size of Broadcom's software division and account for almost 49% of the company's revenue. Our tech reporter Aaron Tilley says the deal is a strategic bet by Broadcom that demand for enterprise software will continue despite economic turmoil.
VMware plays really strategically in areas related to the cloud giants. They create software that does something called hybrid cloud, which connects your sort of legacy private data centers that companies own with the big sort of public clouds that they're renting out this infrastructure from the likes of Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. And that's really important because a lot of older companies are trying to move to the cloud, and VMware is sort of this partner in how they're going to manage this shift to the cloud.
Apple is boosting pay for hourly workers in the U.S. to at least $22 an hour. Starting pay for salaried workers is also expected to rise. The move comes as Apple faces unionization efforts among its hourly workers and a war for salaried talent amid rising inflation. Other tech giants are taking similar steps. Rival Microsoft told staff earlier this month it would almost double its global budget for merit-based raises. Twitter has agreed to new oversight and a $150 million penalty to settle a privacy suit brought by the Federal Trade Commission. Government prosecutors claimed that Twitter collected phone numbers and email addresses for account security measures and then fed that data into its advertising tools without disclosing it, violating a 2011 deal with the FTC. Twitter says data may have been inadvertently used for advertising, and the issue was resolved in 2019. The news comes as Elon Musk is committing more of his own money to finance his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter. Recent regulatory filings show that Musk plans to put up to $33.5 billion in equity, up from a previous $27.25 billion. Earlier this month, Musk said the acquisition was on hold pending a review of how many bot accounts were on Twitter, but he said he remained committed to the deal. And Alibaba posted its slowest revenue growth since going public in 2014. It's the second straight quarter the Chinese e-commerce giant's results have come in this way. The company cited challenges from COVID-19 outbreaks that led to lockdowns and supply chain disruptions, and lower consumer demand. That's added to the already heavy financial toll the company has taken from actions by Chinese regulators over the past year and a half. All right, coming up, can tech help spot signs of violence and stop the next school shooting? We'll discuss after the break.
Check out Amazon Remars at remars.amazonevents.com/WSJ to attend for just $199.
The mass shooting this week at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, left 19 children and two teachers dead. When attacks like this are committed by teens, the questions that are often raised are how did this young person slip through the cracks? And what signs could family members, teachers, and schools have missed? In the hopes of preventing a mass shooting before it happens, some schools are turning to technology to help them spot and react to possible warning signs. So, how do these programs work, and how effective are they? Joining us to discuss this is our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Hi, Julie. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Julie, we aren't talking about metal detectors. You know, this is to spot early warning signs before their actual attempts at violence. So at a basic level, how does this technology work?
So school districts are using monitoring software that uses artificial intelligence to detect keywords that could indicate that students are planning to harm themselves or others. The AI scans language that students might write in emails or in Google Docs that could indicate plans of violence. The software also scans web searches for, you know, if a student is searching for weapons or for suicide methods. Those kinds of things then are flagged to school administrators, who can then decide whether a threat is credible and how to act on it.
I mean, people and kids in particular, you know, we say and write things that we don't mean. So what specifically does this software look for? And, you know, how do the counselors and teachers know that it's an actual sign versus just, you know, venting or letting off some steam?
Yeah, there are definitely false positives that these systems can detect. So there is a human monitoring element to a lot of this, too. So in some cases, schools can pay for additional human moderation to determine if the keywords in, you know, a Google Doc constitute a real idea about, for example, suicide versus a student writing a paper for school about suicide. So there is a multi-part process involved. And then school counselors and administrators also have to determine if there's a real threat. You know, they have to interview the student and find out, is the student joking around? Is the student serious? And they have to rely on their training as psychologists and professionals to determine if that student is really at risk. And oftentimes it results in a visit to that student's home. It can result in counseling for the student or even hospitalization.
I can imagine, though, with software like this, that it raises questions about privacy.
It does. And that's something I've written about before. You know, for a lot of students, their school-issued device might be their only device. They may not have a personal phone or computer. They may not have a personal network, home internet. They might rely on the school network for communication, and it may be the only way that they can communicate with friends. So there is a concern that, you know, if that's a safe space and a private way for students to communicate their concerns, it does raise a question of whether that should be flagged to school administrators. But on the flip side, no one wants to see a school shooting, and no one wants to see a young person die by suicide. And so, you know, it's a really tricky balancing act that schools are trying to straddle.
All right. Once these signs are flagged, what has to happen next to prevent a shooting from happening?
You know, a lot of experts I spoke to said it's not enough just to rely on the technology. It's, you know, you can't just check a box and say, well, I've got the school monitoring software, I'm good to go. There has to be kind of a more holistic approach to school safety that has to involve people who are trained to know what it looks like when a student is, you know, escalating toward suicide or violence. And that does require special training because oftentimes students know what to say to avoid being taken seriously with a threat like this. So if districts don't have adequate training and people that really can understand when to spot that a student is really in trouble, then this software just doesn't really work.
I mean, do we have a sense of how well the software is working where it's been utilized, or could we ever have a sense of how well it's working?
I mean, that's, you know, that's really hard to measure. You know, I've talked to a superintendent of a small district in Texas who said that they've responded to at least 24 serious threats of self-harm or harm to others so far this school year. And he said, you know, it's something that the community never really knows about. It's hard to know when mitigation efforts prevented something. You know, as he said, the newspaper doesn't carry stories about what didn't happen. So it's always hard to know what could have been. But clearly, if districts are responding to things, numerous things, and they don't see, you know, a bad outcome, they do feel that there's some success here. But again, it's just really hard to quantify what didn't happen.
All right, that was our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Thanks for joining us, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had editorial support from Scott Salloway. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Heads up, we'll be off on Monday for Memorial Day, but keep an eye on this feed for something a little special next week. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Tess Vigeland here from the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast. This season, we'll take you from that first job all the way to retirement and all the career moments along the way. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.